We're not ready to go yet. Is there any way you can send this thing in overtime?
Yeah.
No problem.
I don't know what he was looking at, but we're going into overtime.
Yes, it's a special Thursday night edition of Overtime Live. Presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus East Indian Suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios. Mike Bradley with you on 94.3 Winx FM and SFMSports.net. And we'll get a look at your Brett Moy Therapy Associate scoreboard in just a couple of minutes. But we want to get right to it as we've already got a coach lined up on the newsmaker line. As we go down and talk to as many coaches as we can from tonight's game. And head coach of the North Carolina Bulldogs, who remain undefeated tonight at 7-0, Coach James McCormick joining us on the line. And Coach, first and foremost, I know that it's a one-game-at-a-time mentality, but 7-0 at this point. Obviously, though, at this point in the year, you still have three games left, but you have put yourself in a very good position right now. And really, it's not too early to talk playoffs now, is it?
Well, I don't know. We're getting close to talking playoffs, but, you know, we got a little bit of work to do. We got three games, you know, and seven wins is not going to get you in the playoffs in 2AE. So we got to get at least one or two more and see what we can do after that. But maybe in a week or two we can talk playoffs.
Okay, now this was one of the games of the week. Of course, North Carolina and Kent County, you guys coming in at 6-0, Kent County at 4-2, and then the game of the week that we did with Kent Island and Cambridge. Unfortunately, that wasn't much of a game, but really neither was your game, although that's in a good way. The final score, North Carolina 52, Kent County 34, though Kent County scoring some touchdowns at the end when you had backups in at that point, and we'll talk about a backup quarterback in a couple of minutes as well. But Coach, obviously coming in, you know, with Kent County, a different type, when you contrast styles between you guys and them, you know, a running game versus a passing game. But as I blogged at SFMSports.net, though, again, with your team this year, with the athletes you have at running back, yeah, it's the wing T, but it's not a 3 yards in a cloud of dust wing T with the ability of your guys to go inside and outside. So, yeah, Kent County may have a dynamic, explosive passing game, but you guys have an explosive running game.
Yeah, we do pretty good. Those guys were waiting to do that.
I figured so.
Now we got some kids that can go 70 yards and drop of a hat, and you know, we're very fortunate we got three or four of those kids. But you know, even with them, you know, with these kids running hard and doing everything, you know, it takes a lot of work up front, and you know, our guys are just playing really well right now, and we're blocking hard, they're running hard, they're working for each other, and they're being unselfish, and that's nice.
Most certainly. And I thought that was going to be the difference in the game. And we'll talk about the Kent County in just a second, but I thought that was going to be the difference in the game is that, again, we're not talking about 3 yards in a cloud of dust type offense. We're talking about an offense that is primarily run, always has been, under your head coach, head coaching tenure there. But this is an explosive running game. Yeah, you can grind it out if you need to, but you can also go outside and be explosive at the drop of a hat, which makes you multiple and certainly makes you very dangerous. No question. You talk about the offensive line. Certainly it starts and ends in the trenches. Now, coming into this game, and I know that I guess an article was out ahead of time, so I would assume you're aware, but Marquand Green for Kent County not in the game. Obviously, Coach, that certainly helps, though, when Kent County doesn't have Green in the game for him.
Yeah, well, yeah, that makes a big difference. You know, he's a good athlete. You know, the kid is very dynamic, and every time he touches the ball, he can make something special happen. So not having the game plan for that, it made things a little bit easier. But, you know, our kids were ready to play against anybody.
Well, and to that end, yeah, Kent County boasts athletes at speed, but you guys can match that, and I thought that was the difference. And frankly, I thought even with Marquand Green, if he were to have played tonight, that you guys still would have won, and I think at the end of the day, the score kind of bears that out anyway. For folks that don't know, Marquand Green allegedly punched a Decatur player last Friday. Now, both sides claim that he just shoved the player. Kent County put in an appeal. They lost the appeal this week. And apparently they didn't even listen to head coach Bob Knox's testimony or read it. So he didn't play in the game today. But Caroline winning 52-34. And Coach, we talk about the fact that you have weapons, and you have a lot of them. Rodney Thomas and David Bailey and Kenny Jackson and Shane Scharf and a bunch of different guys that really get into the mix. So not only do you have a multiple offense running the ball, but you've got a lot of different guys to go to.
Yeah, and we got all those guys, and we got Tate Potts and Wyatt Gross and Connor McCormick. You know, we got a stable of kids back there, which is nice because we can get those guys on. We rotate guys in and out. We don't lose a whole lot when we do that, and we can keep our guys fresh, you know, into the second half. And I think that makes a big difference in a lot of games.
I guess, Coach, to me, if I were in your shoes this week, and I don't know exactly what the message was, but to me is, hey, we can compete with these guys. We can beat these guys. We've got an explosive offense, too. If we can just get some early stops and get us a score or two advantage, then we're going to be good, because they're always going to be playing catch up, but we don't want to be in a situation where we're trading touchdowns. We need to get a few stops early on, and obviously you guys were able to do that. You score first, then they do counter, and it's 7-6, but then you guys go 14-6 and then 20-6, and you had that 2-touchdown cushion there, which certainly helps.
Yeah, it was, you know, early on it looked like it might be a little bit of a track meet. You know, fortunately our guys settled in a little bit after that first drive, and we're able to play some defense and make a few plays and adjustments. I thought it was a little bit hectic in the first half, but, you know, we go in at halftime winning, 33-14 and, had a pretty good cushion. Just wanted to make sure that we kept things straight for the second half.
And, Coach, I'm curious, from the opposite perspective, you going against a team like Kent County, when Marquand Green is not in the game, who is the next guy up that you're looking to shut down for them?
Well, the quarterback is a pretty good athlete. We knew he could run and throw the ball. He caused us some problems in the first half, especially running the ball. They have a good wide receiver, number 11. And, you know, the kid in the backfield, number 33, is a tough, hard-nosed kid. So, they had some kids that can play ball. And, they're a pretty good football team. They're going to cause some problems down the road for some teams. But, like you said, we have enough athletes that we were able to match up with them. I think when it became a track meet, I thought defensively we were a little bit better than they were. And, we'd be able to get those couple stops that maybe they couldn't get.
Right. Well, and I also thought, and you probably bring up the best point of all, is that comparing the defenses there, if anything, I certainly felt like, yeah, you guys could get the more stops than Kent County, whose defense, frankly, this year has been pretty poor. The offense has been really good, but the defense just hasn't been there for them. But, 1A school like that, there's only so many players to go around. Coach, late in the game, I was listening, obviously running the game for the Kent Island Cambridge game, and Mark Potter is doing, of course, the play-by-play, says, hey, my quarterback's in, and Cody Pepper, JV kid, no game this week. He's on the varsity squad. His very first pass on the varsity squad, a touchdown pass to Alan Sadoff. How about that?
Yeah, he was, we had a fortunate opportunity. We had enough of a lead that we played a lot of kids in that fourth quarter, especially. I think we started in the third quarter rotating a lot of young kids in. Like I said, we didn't have a JV game this week, so we dressed some of our JV kids and brought them up. Hoping that maybe, opportunity presents itself, we'll get them on the field. And, we had a lot of young kids out there, and, we were trying to run the ball just to kill the clock, and they kept blitzing us. They were sending the house, so we really didn't have too many other choices if we wanted to move the ball. And we took a couple shots throwing it, and, Cody put the ball in the money and scored.
Coach, at this point, and I certainly have gotten the idea, and I've certainly got the impression, that is probably a better way of saying it, that that your guys are truly taking it week to week, and that having not made the playoffs the last couple of years, despite some good seasons, that your guys are focused in and realize, hey, we need to get as many wins as possible and position ourselves hopefully for that number one seed in the 2A East. So there is really no looking ahead. On a week-to-week basis now, as you go for weeks, 8, 9, and 10 here, what is the message to the team?
Well, next week, we're going to talk about slowing things down, getting back to basics a little bit, and just working on some of our fundamentals. We've had some hectic weeks here with, games pushed to Monday and right. Short weeks and all kinds of stuff. So next week is a normal week. We play on Friday night down at Bennett. We'll be able to kind of settle into our routine. We can focus on some fundamentals early in the week. And, I think our message for next week is going to be taking that next step. I think 8 wins will get us a seat at the table, so to speak,
Oh, yeah.
With what we want to do at the end of the year, getting in the playoffs. So, that's our goal. You know, get to number eight, and you know, we'll take care of that, and then we'll worry about what comes after that.
And again, I guess it won't hurt. And again, I have not gotten the impression that your guys have been looking ahead at all, having read interviews and interviewed a couple of players after that Stephen Decatur game. It won't hurt, though, that you go into a game against J.M. Bennett, who won 24-21 in an upset over Parkside, a 38-yard field goal, the difference in the game late in the game. That team comes in at 5-2 this year, and that's been a program that's been down the last couple of years. So it won't hurt that record-wise, hey, you know, you've got at least pay attention to the Clippers.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, good for Hoot. You know, he's doing a great job with that group of kids. And, the last couple of years we played Bennett, they've caused us fits. They've really given us a hard time. And, so we're going to have our hands cut out. You know, he does a good job coaching those kids. And, I'm sure they're going to come up with something to slow us down. And hopefully we can make some adjustments and figure out a way to get our kids in a position to make some plays.
Yeah. Well, Coach, congratulations on the win, 7-0. And I know, obviously, it's a week at a time. And I most certainly think, eight wins definitely get you into the playoffs at that point. But Bennett is the next team up, and that's what you'll be focused on. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. Appreciate it. That's head coach James McCormick of the North Carolina Bulldogs. And you really have to give him and the team a lot of credit, a lot of hullabaloo, if you will, using an old-school term, with this team coming in this year. As I've mentioned several times, they've had the same kind of buzz about them that Kent County has had over the last couple of years. And you know what? They've lived up to expectations the entire time. 942 on the OTL, 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net. Overtime Live presented by the Preston Automotive Group at Best Western Plus, East Indian Suites. Mike Bradley broadcasting live from the Edge Trading Academy Studios. After the news line, we go. Hello, Overtime Live. Who's this?
Hey, handsome.
Hey, what's going on? David Inslee of the Star Democrat. David, what game were you at tonight?
I was in Cambridge. And it was a pretty lopsided affair. Kent Island came to town, and despite only a minor edge in time of possession at comparable yardage, 33-0, they blew Cambridge out, ran them out of their own stadium almost.
Yeah. David, I take a look now as I go through my power poll, and I had Cambridge above Kent Island and Queen Anne's, mostly because of the quarterback position and also the athleticism and the fact that Cambridge's defense has played pretty well this year. And really, given, the field position that Kent Island had throughout, especially the first half, Cambridge's defense held their own for the most part. But I think clearly, though, you can have the advantage of quarterback, but if you can't get it done in the trenches or if you're dominated there, it really doesn't mean much. And, you know, looking at it now, I got to say, I probably shouldn't have had that clearly Kent Island is the better team over Cambridge.
Yeah, Kent Island definitely, they proved the point tonight in abundance. They just seem to just run the ball right down their throat. And Bert Schreckengoss is a very reliable kicker for them, so they knew that if they did come up short, if it was, a 30-yard field goal, give or take, they knew that they'd get the 3 points out of it. So instead of walking away empty-handed like some teams might have done, trying to convert a fourth and short at about the 15, they got 3 points a pop two different times, and that helped them build that 19-0 halftime lead.
You know, Kent Island, going into this season, I wasn't counting them out. I know you had the coaching change, but Coach Ferragamo, been on the staff, been a head coach before, et cetera. I never really thought they were going to drop off. I haven't really talked about them much because Kent County's a buzz team. North Carolina's a buzz team that's doing obviously very well. They're undefeated. Queen Anne's has maybe the most athletes and speed that Coach Greff has ever had, and that comes from him, not from me. So there were other kind of buzz headlines out there, if you will. Didn't really talk about Kent Island a lot, but I know I talked a little bit with Jay Coleman, and he said, look, Mike, this is going to be the toughest offensive line that we faced all year, and obviously defensively as well. But he said, I don't think enough people give props to Kent Island. And he's right. We're not talking. We haven't talked about them much, but we really have to pay them attention because here's a team now that is 6-1, and they are just picking up where they left off from last year.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It was actually a Freudian slip on the part of the PA announcer when they were doing pregame. Is they announced Kent Island coming in as having a record of 6-1. So they said the Kent Island Buccaneers with a record of 6-1, and the CSD Vikings with a record of 5-1. So that was kind of an odd little thing. And I'm one of those old weird types where I believe in symbolism and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, was the guy being prophetic or what? But
right.
I mean, I picked Kent Island to win the game, but I picked there to be a few more points on the board. I I'm going to have to look to see when was the last time Cambridge got shut out at home in the regular season. It's been a while.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Just quickly, David, J.M. Bennett, a second to win thanks to a field goal. And so they're 5-2. They've got North Carolina next week at home. And, you know, who knows? I mean, Bennett, I didn't expect Bennett to be Parkside, who's got a pretty darn good running game and offensive line, although Bennett boasts a pretty good offensive line themselves. But they have had trouble scoring points this year. But they get it done in the city championship series there. So next week, I mean, who knows? I'm not expecting an upset, but maybe that's a better game than we thought when the season began.
Right. Well, also props to Bennett. Steve Oscar is their sophomore kicker. Video interview with him. You can find that at stardem.com/blog/from the bleachers if you go back a couple weeks to the Easton game. This was his second game-winning field goal of 40 yards or more this year, I'll point out also.
Yeah, he had one against Easton.
Another prop I want to give to Glenn Gibson is, from what I understand, his starting quarterback, according to the information I got tonight from Easton coach Matt Griffith, his starting quarterback had a broken shoulder tonight.
Joey Geary is his name.
Yeah. So if that's true, they did it with their backup quarterback.
Wow.
That's all the more impressive.
Wow. No, most certainly. Well, David, we're short on time tonight, but Queen Anne's over Decatur. Decatur had three guys out in that game, although at the end of the day, I don't think that, you know, Decatur gets that win, even with those guys in there. But they hung for a while, and one of those touchdowns was real late in the game for Queen Anne's. So, you know, you give them credit playing a little bit better. But, you know, Queen Anne's as well, some of the usual suspects all up at the top. North Carolina, of course, the undefeated team there. So I don't know if there's any big headlines tonight. I think the teams that we thought would win, other than we thought this Kent Island-Cambridge game would be closer.
Yeah. I figured it would be, you know, 28-24, 21-14, something like that. So, you know, like I said, props to the Buccaneers. I've not seen them until this point in the year, and I can say they left quite a first impression.
David, how can folks find you online and on Twitter?
Well, on Twitter, it's Dave Allen Insley, DaveAllenInsley. Sorry, I had a tooth pulled this afternoon at 3 o'clock, so I'm not a up the snuff as I usually am, but thank God for David Dodson, and they've got a great program there at CSD on stats. When I go home after I pick my son up from work here in a couple minutes, I'm going to have all the stats, play drives, and everything that they've got set up at the stadium there. I didn't have to take notes, so I might actually have taken a decent photo for once.
Nice. All right. Well, it sounds good, and articles tomorrow on the game, so check out the Star Democrat. David, thank you so much. We'll talk next week.
Yep, thanks, Mike.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. 9:48 on the OTL. More to come next.
The Edge Training Academy is your one-stop shop for all your training goals. Whether you're looking to improve the way you feel to improving your on-field performance, the Edge Training Academy is the place for you. What can the Edge do for you? Here are what some of our clients are saying.
The Edge has definitely made me a stronger, faster, and smarter athlete.
Developed me into an athlete like no other.
It's just created monumental change in not only my physical play, but my attitude as well.
The Edge Training Academy is located at 220 Law Canoe Circle in the Chesapeake Bay Business Park in Stevensville. For more information, check us out online at theedgetrainingacademy.com or call us at 443-249-3133.
On your own, you have limits, and Coach Willie and his staff push you well beyond those to let you reach new heights that you didn't even know you were capable of.
The Edge Training Academy, where passion meets performance.
When you have friends, business associates, or family visiting, you want them to stay at the best hotel. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites is now the number one rated hotel in Easton, according to TripAdvisor. Best Western Plus Easton Inn and Suites also received the Distinguished Best Western Director's Award for excellent quality assurance. Plush accommodations, a friendly staff, and breakfast every morning awaits. To make a reservation, call 410-822-7100 or go to bestwesterneaston.com.
Paula's Fine Jewelry is a full-service family jewelry store specializing in jewelry, keepsakes, and gifts for the whole family. At Paula's, you'll find quality certified diamonds, sterling silver, charms, diamond and gemstone jewelry, and pearls, as well as designer and sports jewelry. Paula's Fine Jewelry offers custom jewelry design, on-premise jewelry repair, and appraisals by appointment. For the best quality from your hometown jewelry store, stop by Paula's Fine Jewelry at 1607 Postal Road in Chester. Paula's is open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6 until 2 on Saturday. Call Paula's Fine Jewelry today at 410-643-8045.
Change your life in a big way.
Everybody needs a big brother or a big sister, and being He plays football with me, and we like to do things like that. He's my best friend. Whenever he comes over to my house, he feels like he's a part of my family. I feel like I'm a part of his family, too.
Make a difference by volunteering or donating to Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Greater Chesapeake. They need bigs, especially men. Start something. If you're a former big, start something again at biglittle.org or call 410-543-2447. Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Greater Chesapeake.
The game is over and the lights are off, but we're just getting started. It's back to Overtime Live
with Mike Bradley on 94.3 Winks FM.
And SFMSports.net coming up on 9:51. Joining us on the coaches line is Brendan Ironton of the Kent County Trojans. As Kent County, they fall to North Carolina 52-34. And Coach, tonight, obviously a tough task when the best player on your team, or one of the best players on your team, obviously Stevie Curran's a heck of a talent himself, but arguably one of the best players in the entire Bayside, is not available to you.
Yeah, it's a shame we didn't have him tonight. And, I don't know how much difference would have made in the outcome, but, you know, he still would have been better off if we would have had him. And, you know, you got to give that. Carolina's a very good football team. They're very, you know, physical in all three phases. And, I mean, they're going to be good for a long stretch.
And Coach, just quickly, because I won't dwell on it, but the appeal that you put in, what I found interesting was, I know we talked a little bit during this past week, and that even Steven Decatur claimed that Marquand did not throw a punch in the game last Friday, and yet it appears that what head coach Bob Knox's testimony or statement wasn't even read, or he wasn't talked to. That boggles me why both sides wouldn't be heard here.
I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, it is what it is at this point. I just, you know, it's a shame we had to miss for a game, but, you know, he got kind of put himself in that situation to begin with, but, you know, it's a lesson to be learned, and, you know, he can't leave anything up to the people calling the game. You just got to make better adjustments out of the field.
Absolutely. Coach, at this point, 4-3, and this season, you've had some nice wins. Obviously, Queen Anne's at the beginning of the year was a big win at home. Last week against Stephen Decatur, coming from behind, that was a big win, and getting a lot of 3A points, which certainly buffers the loss tonight. I guess, though, when you look defense, Coach, at this point in the year, it's pretty much been problematic all seven games. I mean, at this point, realistically, how much better can it get? Is the team basically saying, hey, look, we know that we're going to have to outscore everybody, and the lion's share of the pressure is going to be on the offense here?
Yeah, I mean, we struggled on defense. We graduated about 8 or 9 starters last year from defense. And a lot of guys, you know, we didn't have a lot of guys' experience coming up. There's guys just going to have to continue to try to get better at what they're doing, what we're doing. You know, Coach Steph. Ourselves, we're going to try to get better at what we're doing and put guys in better positions. And, you know, I think, you know, it's spurts. We've looked good. And I think we looked good for 2 quarters last week on defense. And I think if we just put it together and we got 2 weeks, I think that we can play solid defense. And, you know, also not an easy game. You know, the Eastern loss is really kind of hurting us right now. But if we can put together these last 3 weeks among the playoffs, definitely put us in a situation where you feel better about the defense. I think we got some guys. We just need some guys to step up more and take more responsibility and practice harder, and, you know, show some leadership on that side of the ball for us to get better.
Coach, usually in games that you're facing other teams, your style of play is different from what a lot of the other teams run on offense themselves. And frankly, you've got a fair amount of athletes and good players on the offensive side of the ball. I guess tonight, though, with North Carolina, as I mentioned, this isn't your typical North Carolina 3 yards in a cloud of dust. They've got multiple athletes, and especially in the backfield. And frankly, I guess coming in, they basically could match what you have.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple drives I felt like there's one play bobbled in our hands and into their hands. So there's kind of some turnovers. And like I said, not having Marquand made a big difference. And, they're a very good football team. They're very fast, physical. Their offensive line does a very good job. You know, defensively, the Bailey kid is, for a guy, a kid that size, you know, it's just unbelievable how quick he is. And, you know, our secondary, we weren't very physical, kind of come up and help support the linebackers, and we weren't very physical the first half on defense. We weren't very physical at all on defense. And, when those guys get to the edge, they're fast enough to break it. Well,
Coach, Coach, I blogged last week that I thought with the win over Stephen Decatur that you guys really matured quite a bit as a team, because it would have been easy after that Cambridge loss for doubt to quickly creep into the minds of the players, getting down 22-7. But your defense held enough in order for the offense to get back on track and score, what, 35 unanswered points, I believe it was, something like that. 32 unanswered points, that is, to get to 39 and ultimately win 39-34. You know, obviously that was a great bounce-back game. So coming into North Carolina, you know, in terms of any doubt or anything like that, I would assume that after that kind of grow-up game that wasn't an issue tonight, even though Green wasn't there.
It's when you don't have one of your better players, it's kind of tough to some of the guys that kind of rally. And I just, you know, Mark Juan on defense, he's one of our better players, and especially on defense, you know. And he's got that speed that allows us to match up at least on defense.
Right.
And we were playing a lot of younger guys tonight, just trying to see what we could do. And, you know, unfortunately, it made a big difference. It made a bigger difference than what we thought would. But, you know, we're going to get back to the drawing board. We're going to continue to work and continue to push until we get better, until we can make this play. You know, I told the kids today, our playoffs start today. After the game, I told them that. From here on out, it's got to be, you know, you got to be preparing like you're playing in the playoffs. And, you know, we can't have these letdowns, that kind of, you know, that stuff. So, you know, we're going to put the best 11 out there that's going to give us the best chance of winning. And you know, the offense can continue to score points, and we'll take it from there.
And, Coach, who do you guys have next week?
Snow Hill.
Okay, so they're winless. They play Wicomico tomorrow, and likely will be winless coming in against you guys. So that hopefully will be a good bounce back game for you guys. Taking a look at the point situation right now, you're the second seed of the 1A East. Cambridge losing tonight to Kent Island, that helps a little bit. I don't know how Havre Grace did. I know Bo Manor did.
Havre Grace won, so it looked like Havre Grace probably jumped first. And then
Bo Manor won tonight.
Bo Manor, I think they won too. Bo Manor won too.
Right, but I don't think they'll jump you. Yeah, but obviously at this point the margin of error though is pretty slim.
It is very slim.
Yeah. Talking to head coach Brendan Ironton of the Kent County Trojans here as they fall to North Carolina tonight. And just final point there, just talking about maturation and such, Coach. We've seen marquee players for teams that have had great careers, but that's all they've been able to do. As a team, they haven't been able to do much around that player because they've been so reliant on that one person. At least, I guess, the positive thing, especially on the offensive side, is you've got Stevie Curran. You've got other guys like a Tekai Kalk, a Daquan Seymour, a Josh Fry. You do have other offensive weapons and guys that are making plays out there. So it's not as if tonight it's 52-0, for instance. You did put up 34 points.
We did. So those points against the second team. But, again, like I said, I thought we were able to move the ball for a little bit. We just kind of turned the ball over some bad. We probably left up two or three touchdowns off the board. But, again, you know, the situation could have been different because of who the personnel was on both sides. But, you know, Deshaun Lister has been another guy for us. He's kind of really stepped up the last couple weeks. And we got other guys out there. We just got to get the defense up to speed, the offense, and we'll finish up strong.
All right, Coach, I know it's late. We'll let you go. Thank you for your time, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Mike, have a good one.
All right, you too. Take care. Head Coach Brendan Ironton of the Kent County Trojans. You're listening to Overtime Live, presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Plus East Edited Suites, coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios. And don't forget, Paula's Fine Jewelry, back to reward one lucky coach from the North Bayside. Each coach that participates this year will be entered into a drawing to become the Overtime Live Coach of the Year. The winner receives a $500 gift certificate to Paula's Fine Jewelry in Chester. I apologize. We've tried to get as many coaches as possible here. We haven't gotten your Pret & Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard yet. We'll do that next. Keep it here.
WINX-FM, St. Michael's Easton, a First Media station. Your local sports leader, 94.3 Winx FM.
It's time for the Bayside Pop Warner Minute. The Bayside Pop Warner Conference held their annual cheerleading competition this past Saturday at the Wicomico Youth and Civic Center in Salisbury. It was a good day for the South Carolina Mustangs as they picked up wins at the junior peewee, and midget levels. Kent County won the junior midget division. The Talbot Braves advanced to New Jersey with a second-place finish in the Junior Pee Wee Division. The same goes for the Dorchester Vikings at the Pee Wee level and the Caroline Cougars in midgets. Football returns on Saturday with some good matchups. Kent County will be at Northeastern Park playing the Talbot Braves, and the Caroline Cougars are in Cambridge taking on the Dorchester Vikings. To get more information on the Bayside Pop Warner Conference, go to eteams.com/Bayside Pop Warner. This has been the Bayside Pop Warner Minute.
The Island Athletic Club at the Mears Point Marina on Kent Narrows has been serving the community with excellence for 28 years. The Island Athletic Club provides the latest free weight, circuit equipment, and cardio equipment in a supportive, fun atmosphere. Members.
Now, back to Maryland's only high school football sport.
Is available. The Island Athletic Club in the Mears Point Marina is open 7 days a week, 5 to 9 Monday through Friday, and 7 to 4 on the weekends. Stop by and see for yourself why the Island Athletic Club has been around for 28 years. For more info, go to islandathleticclub.net or call 410-827-5527.
Things are heating up at Preston Ford's Top 100 Sales Drive. Choose from over 800 new Fords, like the 2015 Ford Escape for just $277 a month, or the 2015 Ford Fusion is yours for just $299 a month, and 0% financing is available on select vehicles.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Preston Ford is united for a cure. And you get a very special limited edition pink frog with every vehicle purchase.
Don't miss the savings during the Top 100 Sales Drive, only at Preston Ford, or hop online to PrestonMotor.com.
U.S. Heating and Air is your local family-owned heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration company. We'll work hard to keep you comfortable in your home and business and provide you with affordable green solutions. We want to earn your business and your confidence. So please call us at U.S. Heating and Air for all your HVAC needs. Call 410-819-USUS. Ask about our $39 checkup special. U.S. Heating and Air, us serving you. 410-819-USUS. Financing available.
Now, back to Maryland's only high school football sports show, Overtime Live with Mike Bradley on 94.3 Winx FM.
And SFMSports.net at 10.02. And joining us on the coaches' line, who gives it of the J.M. Bennett Clippers as the Clippers win tonight 24-21 over the Parkside Rams, the city championship series going on. And J.M. Bennett now improving to 5-2. Coach, first off, appreciate you joining us at the late hour. Congratulations. Boy, this program has been in some tough waters over the last couple of years. I know you've tried to work hard to get participation levels in the weight room there. I know that you've been dealt a tough hand when it comes to injuries. Finally, this year, it seems like you're getting a break, and at 5-2, boy, you've got to feel so much better now than you have over the last couple of years.
Yeah, thanks. We're just great to the kids and the coaching staff and the time and effort we put in, and we just hung in there tonight. We're missing 7 starters due to injuries and discipline, and called up 2 freshmen, and our sophomore kicker did it again for us.
Yeah, speaking of which, you've had now 2 kicks this year be the difference of the game, one against Easton and one tonight against Parkside. Steve Oscar with a 38-yard field goal towards the end of the game. The difference is Bennett over Parkside, 24-21. Jay and Bennett, 5-2. Parkside drops to 4-3. I believe that's her third straight loss of the season. And, Coach, do I understand, was your quarterback, was Joey Geary hurt tonight, or was he out for this game? Did he get hurt last week?
No, it was our starting quarterback, our sophomore, Joey Blake broke his
Blake, I'm sorry.
No Hill game. So Joey Geary's been filling in, and he had a big play right for the field goal to set it up. He went on a bootleg and was able to get us 8 more yards on 3rd and 15, so got us into field goal range.
Okay, but so who? I'm sorry. So who again was hurt at quarterback for you?
Oh, Joey Blake, our sophomore, who was the starter, just so we could put Geary out there at the wing and be more of a threat vertically, try and get everybody out of the box, but. He's our backup quarterback, so we put him back there. He did a great job.
So you had to put Geary back at quarterback, you're saying?
Yeah, he didn't get hurt tonight. He played his guts out.
Okay. But Blake is hurt, though.
Blake is done, yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And you mentioned there's 6 other starters, though, that are out, so yeah, you still have a bit of an injury.
All 3 cornerbacks were out. We had to pull a freshman off the JV. Jay Long, we call him. He returned to kickoff to tie the game up after Parkside took the lead 21-14. So he stepped up big time, and that's what it's all about. He got a chance, and he made something happen.
Mm. Coach, Coach, you led 14-13 at halftime in this one. Second half against Parkside scores a touchdown and two-point conversion. They take the lead, and then you guys score a touchdown on a kickoff return. And Parkside special teams over the last year and a half here have not been very good, and that's a big reason why they lost so many close games last year. Did you guys see some things that you were going to be able to take advantage of tonight, or is it just bottom line, just a good play was made?
Well, I had six turnovers. I had to call four of them to fix our special teams. So I'm not going to judge someone else's teams. We were in shambles because, like I said, we had all these injuries and had moving guys around. And it was just a battle. And we just made one more play at the end, and that was the difference.
What has kept Jay and Bennett together and enabled you to overcome these odds and be 5-2 right now?
Well, you know, Mike, it's our senior leadership. When you have kids like Luke Crunty, who've been in the program for 4 years, and Joey Geary, Ricardo Bravo, and Joel Reynolds, guys that have been with me for 4 years and just hung in and done everything I've asked. It's the senior leadership. That's why we're able to stick around.
And that's certainly paid off dividends for them. They've certainly been through some tough times. Good to see them finally see all that hard work and come through for them now in the W column.
Yeah, right. We got other kids coming off the field telling us exactly what's going on. Don't run this stunt on defense. Run the ball here on offense. And that's just what coaches need to hear coming off the field. The kids care. Mm-hmm. They understand what we're doing. And it was a great communication. And our JV coaches, Nick Ochoa, Joey Buckley, and Rock Hooks deserve a lot of credit because the kids we brought up, we've been pulling up and been prepared and ready to go. And we were able to plug them right in. So that helps a lot, too. Mm-hmm. The coaching staff's all on the same page.
Coach, let me talk defense here. Parkside, they've got a very strong offensive line, and they've got several good running backs back there to choose from. How were you guys able to contain them tonight?
Praise our defense coordinator, Joey Slayer, just hung in there. We went down 13-0. They literally just walked the dog on us, walked right down and scored on four plays, kicked off. We went 3-0, went right back down, scored. It was 13-0, and he made a couple changes, did a couple different fronts he went with, and just battled. And that's what it's all about. We started tackling a little bit better, and we're able to hang in there. And we won the turnover battle. That was huge. I think we won it 3-1.
Well, that is a big difference. And obviously, Trajan Branch, you know well because he was a transfer from Bennett to Parkside, right?
Correct.
Okay, so you guys had an idea of what kind of player he was. And they've also got some other guys as well, but that certainly speaks highly of them. And I guess your defensive front, though, they go up against a pretty good offensive line because you boast one of the bigger lines of the Bayside anyway, right?
Yes. That's what I've been trying to do, control the ball. Don't turn it over. Work the clock, keep it close, and win it with our special teams, and just hopefully keep us in the game and make one more play.
Outside of the field goal and the kickoff return for a touchdown, who else did the scoring for you tonight, Coach?
We had to empty the playbook. We ran Ty King, our tailback. We had to run tailback toss pass to our sophomore, Sabre, who scored about a 40-yard touchdown. And then Ty got a short touchdown run set up by Loma Thomas, hard running inside our sophomore fullback.
Coach, next week, North Carolina comes to town at 7-0, and traditionally you guys have given them fits, and there have been some really good games between you guys. Obviously, you're not going to have to do much to get the attention of your players, but what's it going to take to knock off the Bulldogs next week?
They got that 4x100 track team in the backfield, so we're just going to have to make stuff happen. We're going to have to go get them, and we got to tackle. We started off tackling pretty poorly, and hopefully we can fix that. And it's just a credit to James and what he does up there. He does it the right way, and those kids are playing great football, and we'll see what happens. I'm actually petitioning the state to see if I can put the A11 back in and try to mix things up on them.
Gotcha. All right, well, Coach, congratulations on a win tonight over Parkside and city rivalry there. And I guess things are still up for grabs with the city championship, right? If you guys beat Wicomico, then you would win the city championship, right?
Yeah, but that's way too far ahead. I just gave them the day off yesterday and thought I was king of the land. But they deserve it. They're going to get 3 days off the heel rest. We'll see them Monday, and that's all I told them. We're worried about Monday, special teams practice, weight room, film, what we do every day. We're not going to change anything. We're going to show them what North Carolina does, and we're going to try and do what we do and see what happens.
All right, sounds good. Coach, congrats, and thanks for taking some time with us tonight. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, you too, thanks.
All right, take care. That's Hoot Gibson, head coach of the J.M. Bennett Clippers, 5-2. Good for them. When's the last time they've been 5-2? It's been a couple of years. It's been tough. And, you know, you've got to have the 1-2. You've got to have the commitment from the guys. You've got to have leadership. He's finally gotten that, but still bit by the injury bug. Good Lord. Seven guys out, and usually it's been double digits the last couple of years. Pulling kids up from the JV team, and, well, it's it feels like the Ravens squad, you know, over the last couple of years. What, 11 on IR this year for them? Yeah. All right, we'll stop down and come back, and we'll finally get a look at your Pret & Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard, you know, teasing you with this, but trying to get as many coaches as possible. Some more to come. It's Overtime Live, presented by Best Western Inn, Best Western Plus East Edited Suites and Preston Automotive. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios. Special Thursday night edition of Overtime Live on 94.3 Winx FM at sfmsports.net.
Have a child that needs driver's ed? Maybe you need to attend the Driver's Improvement or Point System Conference class. In either case, you want to make the right choice by calling Bayside Driving School. Bayside Driving School has been locally owned and operated since 1982 and has the most experienced instructors. Driver's Ed classes start monthly in Talbot, Queen Anne, Caroline, and Dorchester. So call to reserve your spot today. For more information, call Bayside Driving School at 410-822-4411 or visit them on the web at baysidedriving.net. Make the right choice. Go Bayside.
Doc's Downtown Grill is your new destination for lunch or dinner. Doc's Downtown Grill has 7 big screen TVs, so you won't miss a single football game. You want to watch the Big Ten or SEC game? No problem. Doc's has them all. Plus, Doc's has the college game plan package, too. Like the NFL better? Doc's has every NFL game offered. Wear your Redskins or Ravens game day gear to Doc's on Sundays, and you could win some great prizes. Take advantage of Doc's touchdown menu during every game. Drink specials, plus food specials that include wings your way for just $6. Doc's Downtown Grill, your new destination for food, fun, and football.
Matt, look out for that skunk!
I didn't even see that until you said something.
Here, try these.
What a difference. No glare.
That, my friend, is the Costa 580 polarized lens from an Optical Galleria. They are a Costa RX dealer, so you can get a Costa with or without prescription. An Optical Galleria has an in-house lab if you want to use your frame. They can fit you with the Experio polarized lens for the best vision under the sun. They're in Centerville and West Ocean City. Stop in and see the difference. 443-262-9415.
We're talking with physical therapist Rick Perrette from Perrette & Moy Therapy Associates in the Adirondack Medical Center in Kent Island. Tell me a little bit about what services you guys provide.
We're an office that provides occupational, speech, physical therapy. We have an athletic trainer and a wellness program. We provide these services for pediatrics and for adults.
Your partner Bonnie Moy is a specialist in hand rehabilitation. What does that involve?
Bonnie was a hand therapist with the Curtis Hand Center at Union Memorial and has been several years in private practice. She and Trish Hendry, our other occupational therapists, provide splinting, treatment of hand, tendon reconstructions, and a variety of neurological orthopedic injuries.
So let's say I'm having some neck or back pain. How do I end up in your office?
A lot of insurance companies require referrals from your primary care or doctors, but with Maryland law, we can see you directly. Best way is to call our office at 410-604-2982, and we can get you the answer.
That's Perrette & Moy Therapy Associates with a state-of-the-art facility in the AAMC building just off Route 50 in Kent Island.
The game is over and the lights are off, but we're just getting started. It's back to Overtime Live
with Mike Bradley on 94.3 Winx FM.
All right, 10:13 on the OTL, presented by the Preston Automotive Group and Best Western Inn. Best Western Plus, I should say, Easton Inn and Suites. Coming to you live from the Edge Training Academy Studios. And joining us on the line, the head coach of the Queen Anne's County Lions, head coach Donnie Grafe. And, Coach, congratulations on the win tonight. Queen Anne's over Stephen Decatur, 34-6. But early on, Decatur was the one that got up on the board. And quarterback Darian McKenzie on the zone read option from 3 yards out. 9 carries, 43 yards. I guess they featured him quite a bit on that opening series. Was that something you were expecting to see?
Yeah, we saw him on tape from last week with Kent County, and he carried the ball well. I think he had over 100 yards last week, so... something Coach Al Waters was planning for. And, after that first drive, we pretty much shut everything down.
I was going to say, it had to be disappointing on the opening drive, knowing you're right, and he rushed, I want to say, for about 140 yards against Kent County last week. So knowing that, the success he had on that first drive, that had to be disconcerting. But as you talked about after that, right, he pretty much got shut down.
Yeah. I mean, the kids, you know, it's always tough going to Decatur, or I'm sure it's tough for Decatur coming to Queen Anne, a two-hour bus ride. You know, you try and get the kids ready for the game, but, you know, they might start off a little bit slow sometimes. And, you know, I think it was a little bit of that. And, you know, once we fell behind, it was kind of a wake-up call, and kind of kids kind of, you know, got themselves going at that time.
And Coach, let's see, Drayton Brouse didn't suit up for Decatur tonight. I'm not sure why exactly. Maybe it was a concussion from the previous game. Not sure. I know there were a lot of banged up Steve Decatur players from that Kent County game. But Tyree Henry goes out of the game in that one as well. And so does Ed Zonick. So the battle, you win the battle of attrition there tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's time of year. Everybody's beat up. You know, we got kids out ourselves. So, you know, we're just trying to make best what we have, and I'm sure Decatur's doing the same thing.
And tonight you get scoring again from a lot of different guys, Tommy Bull and C.J. Rogers and Tyler Bono, Jaquero Garner. Again, that has to make a coach feel good that, look, there's not just one guy that we're going to, and teams can key on that person. You've got multiple guys back there.
Yeah, we got a lot of good athletes, you know, and they're very capable athletes. I think the biggest score was like you said, Tyler Bonner's score. Mm-hmm. He had one on defense, and I think that put us up either two scores or three. I think everybody kind of took a deep breath in and relaxed a little bit more, and just kind of things started to flow from that point on.
Coach, at this point in the season, you know, you have to be talking or looking playoffs, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely, you know, we get on the MTSSA website and, you know, see how everything's going. And it's still early. I mean, our biggest part of our season, I think, still in front of us with Caroline and Ken Allen, and again, of course, Waha next week. But, you know, obviously you glance at it, you kind of predict, you know, what team's going to do what and who they have left to play. I mean, I was looking on my phone at the schedules of Falston, what they have left, and of course, you got Elton. So, you know, there's five, maybe six teams that really have a shot finishing that top four in the region. But there's going to be a couple teams left out that are good football teams.
Yeah, I mean, right now, North Carolina at 7-0, Kent Island, Queen Anne's at 6-1. I'm not sure what Elkton did tonight. I believe Falston won, so they're 4-3. So you've got five teams there, and then well, Parkside lost tonight, although they're 4-2 in there. But you've got, yeah, five or six teams that are all competing for four spots. So certainly, you know, if it's difficult to get the kids' attention sometimes for an opponent that may be a lot lesser than you, all you have to do is take a look at the 2A East right now and say, you know what, we can't afford a slip-up.
Yeah, we do that, but sometimes it still doesn't get their attention. I'm not exactly sure what's left to talk to them about, but
yeah.
You know, that is one of the things that we try and use to motivate them. But again, you know,
and
16, 17-year-old kids, they got a lot of things on their mind, and trying to keep them focused just on football is tough sometimes.
Elkton, by the way, did win tonight 34-0. So you've got 7-0 and then 3 6-1s there, all lobbying for good seating there. So that and then Falston, who I believe has won tonight. So I get a very competitive 2A East to say the least. By the way, I want to thank David Inslee for sending me that. And by the way, he says hello and congrats on the win tonight, Coach. And taking a look at this team now at 6-1 on the season through 7 weeks, talk about quarterback Tommy Bull. With his progression from week one to now, do you feel more comfortable with him? Is he at the point where he's able to start changing some plays a little bit? And how do you feel with him in the passing game?
That's kind of a loaded question, because sometimes Tommy changes the plays without us even knowing it. So, but anyway, getting back to your point, yeah, we feel more and more comfortable with Tommy every week. I think this week might have been his – least non-productive performance so far. And I don't mean it in a negative way, but Tommy just didn't play the way as good as he had played the last few weeks. So, you know, we can talk to Tommy, you can try and get him focused again. And you know, the kid's got to understand that every game is so important. And one slip-up can cost us the season. So We got 3 weeks left of the season, and you know, expect big things out of Tommy for these next 3 weeks.
Coach, this game 14-6 at halftime, and not in any way is to cater a slouch, but what were they doing defensively that might have kept you guys from getting in the end zone maybe one more time in the first half?
What were they doing? They were just stacking the box. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they had 8, 9, 10 guys in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we'd beat our head up against the wall, and we still try and run it until we just figure out, okay, we got to throw the ball here to loosen people up.
Right.
And again, it's just having that first-year quarterback doesn't have a lot of experience. But, again, you know, Tommy makes a lot of plays with his legs. So, we just kind of get Tommy involved that way. And I think once we get Tommy involved with his legs, then I think he relaxes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can start throwing the ball even better. I think if we try and do it vice versa, then, that's not Tommy's forte right yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, to try and go out there and throw right away, I think that's a disservice to Tommy. So, again, if we can get him involved in the game, get him hit a few times, actually running the ball, he just kind of settles down and really plays a good quarterback for us.
Build some confidence there with some successful runs. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, no, I hear you, Coach. Okay, so it's 6-1 on the year and coming off the win against Decatur. Coach, who do you guys have next week?
I've got Wild High next week and then Caroline and Kanawha.
Okay, so you did. That's not an easy road to hoe. And Wicomico with Snow Hill tomorrow, they'll probably win. So that'll be their second straight win. And then of course North Carolina undefeated, and Kent Island right now with the same record you have at 6-1. So I don't think it'll be tough to get the coach's attention your attention. That is that and the 2A East standings. Or at least let's hope so for their sake.
well coach, sure, the kids, they know Caroline and. And I'm right there in front of them, and I think they might have a tendency to look too far ahead, but, it's up to us as coaches to make sure they stay focused on next week's opponent.
Yeah, most certainly. Well, Coach, I know it's late. I appreciate your time, and congrats on the win, and congrats a few weeks ago, too, on your 150th against Sussex Central. And, boy, that win is looking even better because that team's really starting to come around. And I have to admit, Coach, you can slap me on the wrist for this one. I picked Central in that game, but, boy, you didn't just beat them. You annihilated them. And I tell you what, I mean, that really showed me something about your team this year.
Yeah, we played really well that game, and there's a few turnovers on the part of Sussex Central, and we kind of got rolling from there. It just kind of snowballed on them, and we were up 2 or 3 scores. We didn't even know what happened. So I think that's kind of, like I said, it just kind of maybe took Sussex Central by surprise, and by the time they recovered, it was a little bit too late by that point.
Yeah, well, their defense has played a lot better since your game, so it really speaks highly about what you guys were able to do against them. Coach, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care. Head coach Donnie Grafe of the Queen Anne's County Lions, who improved to 6-1 in a crazy 2A East. It's just ultra competitive, and Falstead at 4-3. Now, obviously, they're going to need to keep winning because they've got 2 to 3 more losses than everybody else in the 2A East, but wow. Okay, let's get a look at your Brett Moy Therapy Associates scoreboard. Brett Moy Therapy Associates providing physical therapy and sports care at the AAMC building on Kent Island. It was Queen Anne's 34-6 winners over Stephen Decatur. Queen Anne's 6-1. Decatur drops to now 3-4 on the season. And they have lost, I believe, now 3 in a row themselves. After getting out to a 3-1 start, they're now 3-4. In our overtime live Thursday night lights, Thursday night lights game of the week. It was Kent Island blanking Cambridge by a score of 33-0. Kent Island 6-1, and Cambridge drops to 5-2 on the season. North Carolina, they remain perfect at 7-0. They defeat Kent County by a score of 4-3. Okay, Decatur did start out 3-0. It is 4 straight losses. Thank you, David Inslee. Colonel Richardson, they get their second win of the year. They improved to 2-5 as they defeat Arcadia 20-9. J.M. Bennett now 5-2. They defeat Parkside 24-21. Parkside is 4-3. I know they have lost 3 straight. Coming up tomorrow, Easton hosting John Carroll from Harford County of the Western Shore. With all due respect to Easton, that game probably won't be close. John Carroll is ranked in the top 15 in the state of Maryland. I believe I'm trying to think about this. I know they're number 9. I don't know if they're number 9 in the state poll or number 9 in the top 15 Baltimore County poll, but they're a pretty darn good team. And then Snow Hill Okay, David tells me they're ranked 13th. Thank you. Ninth in, I believe, the top 15 Baltimore County poll and or Baltimore Metro poll. And then the other game, Wicomico hosting Snow Hill. Wicomico will probably get win number two as they defeated Washington last week. And Snow Hill still looking for their first win. By the way, Washington will be taking on Arcadia as Colonel Richardson defeated Nandua, I'm sorry, by a score of 20-9. Washington will be taking on Arcadia tomorrow. So three games tomorrow in the Bayside. But Easton hosting John Carroll, Wicomico hosting Snow Hill, and Washington will be on the road at Arcadia on the eastern shore of Virginia. But that's your update, and we will come back and we'll take an analysis, if you will, of this week so far, and we'll look ahead, and then we'll start to wrap things up here. 1024 of the OTL.
How do you make football season better? Order Papa John's kickoff special. It's a large two-topping pizza for just $10. And don't forget to add a 2-liter bottle of your favorite beverage for just $2 more. And listen to see if your favorite player is involved in this week's Papa John's Play of the Game. Better ingredients, better pizza, better football. At your Ken Island, Easton, and Salisbury Papa John's locations. Order online at papajohns.com. When it comes to imagination and ingenuity, Ben Franklin more than fits the bill. That's why Ben Franklin Crafts Easton fits the bill for all of your crafts and custom framing needs. They have everything you need to design, create, and embellish. All you need to do is provide imagination. Keep updated on Facebook. Ben Franklin Crafts Easton, Easton Plaza.
Chincheck Sports Locker is the place to go for all of your local sports team spirit wear. Located on Goldsboro Street in downtown Easton, Chincheck Sports Locker offers custom-made spirit wear using sublimation, screen printing, and embroidery. Need team uniforms or sports equipment? Let Chincheck Sports Locker go to work for you. Chincheck Sports Locker is also your one-stop shop for lacrosse gear. They are also the only Epic dealer on the shore, plus they carry Warrior Brine and String King Lacrosse. And Chincheck Sports Locker isn't just for sports teams. Get that team spirit for your business, too. Chincheck Sports Locker behind the Bright Orange Door on Goldsboro Street in downtown Easton. Open Monday through Friday, 11 to 5, and Saturdays, 8 to 11. Or call for custom hours. Chincheck Sports Locker, 443-239-0178.
This message brought to you by Benson & Mangold Realtor Judith Dinges.
In the market to buy a home? Why not work with a real estate agent that knows the area and listens to your needs to find the house that you want? Have a home to sell? Judith Dinges makes selling your home easy. From the listing to the open house and to the closing, Judith Dinges works for you. And she specializes in waterfront property. Whether you're buying or selling, you need Benson & Mangold Realtor Judith Dinges. Call her today at 410-479-2128 or at the Benson & Mangold Downtown Easton office at 410-822-6665.
You're listening to Guy Talk, live from the Sport Clips Haircuts locker room. Caller, you're on the air.
My girlfriend beat me playing one-on-one.
Ooh, sounds like you need to hit up a Sport Clips for an awesome haircut experience and some quality man time.
I don't know. My girlfriend always takes me to her salon.
Nonsense. Be your own man and get a great haircut in a guy-friendly place from stylists who know what guys need.
You may be right.
Sure I'm right. Now grab your Y chromosome, get down to Sport Clips, and ask for the MVP. Sport Clips. It's good to be a guy.
Sport Clips, located in the Thompson Creek Mall on Ken Island, and proud sponsor of Overtime Live's Player of the Game Award.
It's the only show on the shore for all your Bayside High School football scores. Overtime Live
with Mike Bradley on Winx FM.
That's right, 94.3 and online at sfmsports.net. All right, again, scores. Score, scores, and more scores. North Carolina remains undefeated at 7-0. They defeat Kent County 52-34. Kent County drops to 4-3. Ken Island in our Thursday Night Lights game of the week, special edition. Ken Island improving to 6-1, 33-0 winners over Cambridge, who drops to 5-2. Queen Anne's 34, Stephen Decatur 6, Queen Anne's 6-1. Decatur dropping to 3-4. Colonel Richardson, they get their second win of the year, 20-9 winners over Nandua. Colonel Richardson now 2-5. And J.M. Bennett improving to 5-2, 24-21 victors over Parkside, who drops to 4-3. All right, big headlines of the week. Yeah, I didn't expect that Ken Island would shut out Cambridge. Now, I certainly thought Ken Island would be able to run the ball and that their offensive line, one of, if not the best, at the Bayside, would be able certainly to score points. And it would be interesting to see how Cambridge would try to combat that and you know, with Cambridge, with athletes and speed, you know, would they be able to make enough big plays, though, to overcome that? And obviously they weren't able to. Nate Lowe was pressured the entire time, not a whole lot on the ground either for the Vikings, and it really just spiraled out of control. Ken Ilett had great field position, way too many penalties for Cambridge, and who did play better in the second half. Their defense did hold Ken Ilett to a couple of field goals. But at the end of the day, a pretty dominating performance from the Buccaneers. So, yeah, I expected that to be a closer game. I did pick Cambridge in that one, but certainly wouldn't have been shocked if Ken Ilett won. And I'm saying that, you know, as I'm making my picks this week. Obviously, they did win. So that's not a surprise, even on the road. Queen Anne's, they got a game for a little while, even with a beat-up Decatur team. But everybody's beat up at this time of year, as Coach Grafe talked about. And they get the win, but there's no surprise there. Certainly thought Queen Anne's would win. North Carolina, Kent County, that game went as about expected. Kent County scored late in the game, and North Carolina did too with some backups. But with all is said and done, even if Marquand Green had played, yeah, that game probably would have been closer. Yeah, it may have ended up only being a 7 or 10 point game, but I still think North Carolina wins even with Marquand Green if he were to have played tonight for Kent County, but he was suspended. And you're right, he shouldn't put himself in that position. Even if he did just shove a Decatur player instead of punch him, he shouldn't have done that, and that's what happens. I mean, that's a learning lesson, a teaching tool. But Kent County now, the margin of error for the playoffs is thin. I still think they get in, but you know they really can't afford any more losses. Now, or maybe they have one more left, but I don't think they would have chanced that. I think they want to finish out 7-3, and I think they should be able to, but that's going to be no given because they still have to play Queen Anne's, I believe. No, I'm sorry. They beat Queen Anne's the first game of the year. What am I talking about? but they should. They should win out. I'm sorry. I'm getting that confused with North Carolina and Queen Anne's, who have yet to play each other this year. But the big thing with Kent County is, you know, their defense. That's just ultimately that's the problem. A lot of new starters there. I get it. But that's their Achilles heel, and there's a lot of pressure on that offense. A lot of pressure on that offense. It doesn't help with Green out. They do have a lot of other guys to go to, though. That's a good thing for Brendan Ironton. They do have other guys that can step up and have done so. But that's the thing you're going to look at and say, how far are they really going to go with that defense? You look at North Carolina, yeah, they could score, but guess what? They could play defense, too. Ken Ilett could play defense. Queen Anne's could play defense, although I don't think their defense is as good as Caroline's or Ken Ilett's this year. But, you know, they're not shabby. Colonel Richardson, they get their second win of the year over Nandua, and good for them. That offense has done a pretty darn good job. And actually, for them to only score 20 points is surprising. That offense has done a pretty darn good job outside of week one where they were held to 6 points against Kent Ilett. They've scored some points this year, some of which have come on special teams, granted. But good on them. They finally got a good defensive performance tonight. That's been their biggest issue this year is their defense has been not very good. They've been like Kent County, only they don't have nearly as many wins to show for it. Jay and Bennett, they get a big win over Parkside. That's their best win on the resume as they win with a field goal. And their kicker has done a great job at winning them some games this year. That's their second win of the season because of his foot. In terms of the difference in the game, one against Easton and one tonight. So that's huge. So Jay and Bennett 5-2. They defeat Parkside 24-21. Parkside's now lost three straight. Parkside, in my opinion, should have won this game. I do think they're the more talented team. They're the less beat-up team. How that happened tonight, I don't know. But kudos, obviously, to Bennett and head coach Hugh Gibson, who welcomes North Carolina into town. And that game could be probably, I should say, that game might be a little bit more competitive than what we thought it was going to be. I still think North Carolina is clearly the superior team, but that might be a little bit better game than what we thought. And certainly we didn't think Bennett would be 5-2 at this point. With all due respect, we didn't. I didn't. But I think most of my other counterparts didn't either. And then tomorrow, Easton, who had the nice upset win over Kent County, but then they lose last week. They've got John Carroll coming to town, but that's a game in which, hey, you're going to play good competition. You want to get better. You play better competition, and they're doing so on the Western Shore. And so, you know, good on them. Good on them. They're just in a rebuilding mode this year. And then Wicomico and Snow Hill. You know, certainly think Wicomico, they've got more numbers, better talent. Snow Hill, not many in the way of numbers. And they're winless. They've had to take their JV team and bring them up because they need numbers. They just haven't done much since the first half of the first game against Parkside. And Wicomico's had a brutal schedule. They have underperformed, though, to some extent, no question. But a brutal schedule, but they should get their second win. And then Washington on the road at Arcadia. I think Arcadia ends up winning that game. But, you know, all in all, other than the fact that Cambridge-Kent Island game wasn't that competitive, to me, no real surprises tonight. So we move forward. Obviously, lurking North Carolina Queen Anne's and Kent Island Queen Anne's, those are going to be some big games. And that 2AE is still very much wide open for seedings. It's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting. I got to take a look, too, with Jay and Bennett. They're down on the list right now. They're 3-6-7 with the playoffs. So they've got some spots to jump up, but they are only just a couple points away from the 4th seed. So we'll see what the wind does tonight and take a look and see how things shake out with some of those Howard County teams like River Hill and Wild Lake and Glen Elg and Athelton are the teams ahead of them. I think with the loss tonight, clearly Decatur's out of it. You know, I think they do beat Parkside and Snow Hill, and I'm not sure who else they have left after that. They've got one more team in there, but I think their playoff hopes are pretty much dashed after tonight's loss. They needed to win out. But we'll see with Bennett, and we'll see with Parkside. That, again, Parkside, that's tough, 3 straight losses. They probably need to, well, they definitely need to win out, but tonight might have put the kibosh on that one as well for them. But you're looking at Queen Anne's, Kent Island, Cambridge, North Carolina, Kent County, and then maybe Bennett, you know, getting into the playoffs. It's pretty good. Pretty good. All right, that is going to do it. Don't forget that you can check us out online at sfmsports.net. I've got my power poll. I've got my What We Learned segment. I've got my picks. It's all there. Check out the Bayside link at sfmsports.net. And don't forget, we could use your help. You know, send us pictures and video. You know, tag us at Overtime Live on Facebook. Make sure to do that. You can help us out with that. And don't forget as well that each week we pick a favorite player involved in the Papa John's play of the game. One lucky player will receive a free large pizza from Papa John's Kent Island, Easton, or Salisbury. And don't forget to take advantage of the Papa John's kickoff special. Get a large pizza for just $10 and add a 2-liter bottle of soda for just $2 more. And next week, join us for Overtime Live Friday Night Lights Game of the Week. We're thinking it's going to be Easton and Kent Island, but it could be J.M. Bennett in North Carolina. We don't know. We'll let you know on Monday. So that's going to do it. A couple of games tomorrow in the Bayside 3, to be exact. But the lion's share of games in the books on this short week with the Teachers Conference in Ocean City. Hey, thank you much for tuning in. We want to thank all the coaches for joining us as well. Check us out at sfmsports.net. Don't forget Mark Potter, the morning show tomorrow from 6 until 9. We'll have plenty to talk about with the Bayside Conference football as well. Right here on 94.3 Winx FM. And again, check us out online at sfmsports.net. Have a great night coming up. We'll return to regular program with more of today's best country music and Nash Nights Live. Good night. Catch you next week.